morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes today. I have a show I'm so excited about doing. And you know, I do a lot of shows, but this one I've been wanting to do since I attended the festival. For those that didn't, in August 15th through the 17th, the Berkshire Theater Group, Kate McGuire, the whole team there. Yeah, I got one too, baby. They put on this these productions. I applaud them for their courage. I applaud them for their vision. I applaud them for recognizing the importance of having these productions over the days. And I will tell you, we didn't get to all of them, but we got to about three of them. And we're just going to talk about it, how it came about, what it is, and hopefully bring it back at least once next year, maybe twice. But again, that all depends on a lot of people doing a lot of stuff. And it's easy for me to say because I just talk on the radio and then go upstairs and take a nap. But these people that you see, they are responsible. I'm going to start because I'm a chauvinist. And I'm going to start with Deborah because chivalry's not dead in this house. It's just old, fat, and bald. So, Deborah, please introduce yourself.
I'm Deborah Zolaufer, and I wrote The Last Yiddish Speaker, which was just one of many shows that happened over those 3 days.
I'm going to talk about that more in the show, but I will tell you, The Last Yiddish Speaker, if you want to put on a production first, call Deborah and have her do that play. I will tell you, my wife and I talked incessantly about it for 3 days. And we'll talk more about it in the show. David, tell us.
Hi, Bill. How are you? Great to see you.
I'm a Brad Pitt lookalike.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In Benjamin Button, right? No, sure. I am David Winitsky. I am the artistic director of the Jewish Plays Project and just had such a magical week up in the Berkshires a few weeks ago. It was really fantastic.
It was, David, it was magical. It really was. And that my friend Wayne.
Bill, it's great.
I'd give anything to have your hair, Wayne.
Well, look, it's gray, but it's seen a few things over the years. But it was so great to meet in person, Bill. And you were so generous in the first show that we did in sort of sharing your enthusiasm about what we were trying to do. You certainly were a believer before you saw anything, which is a testament in our business to really what theater is about. But you became not just a believer, but an evangelist after coming to the three shows. And for that, we're grateful because we do think this is a moment where theater matters, maybe even more. And I too was in the audience with Deborah's play and watched and listened to people's reactions and tears and laughter and all of those things at this moment are so, so important.
Yes. And in this world today, we need to get an understanding of each other and how we all got to where we are. This is what we've talked about, my wife and I. How did we get to where we are? How did they get to where they are? And it's just, it's really, what you've done across the board here is, I think, sensitize people to the pluses, minuses, and whatever's in between of humanity of people, that if that makes any sense,
I just want to piggyback on that because I think that something that I was really happy about in the festival is the, you know, it's the Festival of New Jewish Plays. We are the Jewish Plays Project. Like we came at things with a with a with a Jewish lens, but I feel like the breadth of things that we were able to talk about over the course of the weekend was really about a lot of different conversations that are happening within the Jewish community, but a lot of different places where the Jewish community intersects with the broader community around the world. And I feel like that is something that we need more of, right? We're not trying to diminish the importance of people's differences, but we are trying to say, like, there are so many things that we share and so many places where we connect. And I think, you know, as much as Deb's play has a unique perspective on Jewish life and a particular moment in Jewish life, it's also about how we all are connecting and a moment that we're all in this country. And that feels, you know, that felt really great over the course of the weekend.
What I from Deborah's play, I it could be today. It could happen today, and that's what struck us. It's, you know, it's not, we all, not, I shouldn't say we all, because believe me, I'm, the more I watch television, I realize we all don't know very much. But I, maybe because of my father's friendship and all, but the contemporary part of the play is what struck us, because we know of goofiness. My wife just read a story about some congressman who from Wisconsin or something is not going to run again because they threatened his family and everything. So, I mean, Deborah, what made you think of this plot?
Well, I did write it certainly before the events in Gaza. And I mean, I wrote it a couple years ago, and bizarrely enough, I was writing because I had read about this little bird in Hawaii, the Kwai'o'o, and there was a story on a podcast, John Green's podcast, about this little bird that they thought was extinct, and an ornithologist was going through the forest and heard a Kwai'o'o, and they mate for life, and each mate has a song that their mate answers, and the ornithologist heard that song and recorded it, so excited, and played it back. And the bird, just to make sure that they had it, and the bird flew back and sang his part of the song again, and waited and sang it again, and waited and again. And the ornithologist realized, oh, this is the first time he's heard his song in a long time, and he's waiting for an answer that will never come. And so I'm very moved by the fact that 150 species of plants, animals, and insects disappears every day, you know, and the death of a language is just heartbreaking to me. The death of, you know, of a culture is heartbreaking to me. And I just, the reason I was writing about the Jews is because that's my background, and that's what I felt I could write about. And, like most of my plays, it was married with a lot of other things that were inspiring me to write at the time. And I was very inspired to write after the insurrection. And it sort of just, you know, I backtracked from what would the death of the Jewish culture or Yiddish mean, and how would we get there in this country? And so I just went back to the inevitable beginning, or what was inevitable to me. Sure. So it didn't start with the sort of dystopian future that it wound up with. Like most of my plays, I don't know exactly what I'm saying until I've said it.
My wife accuses me of that. I will tell you the ending, and I'm not going to give it away.
Thank you, Bill.
The ending was so poignant and pointed, and maybe it's my old background in criminal justice or whatever, but I could visualize what was happening in my own mind. And a credit to you, I'm still hanging there because I don't know how it was resolved. And that was, I mean, like I said, 3 days we talked about it and we were picking out bits and pieces of the play and discussing them. And, you know, I see a lot of plays in the summer season here. And people have accused me of, if I like a play, I beat it to death. And if I don't, here's my theory. I could be wrong. I can't do what you guys do. I can't do what the actors do. I can't do what the musicians do. So I'm not a critic. And I don't know where they got their expertise. No one's ever been able to tell me. But I got to really not like something for me not to talk about it. But if I do, I don't. If I don't like it, I don't put people down because I can't do what they do.
The critic Howard Kissel of Blessed Memory had a great line where he said, I'm a theater lover, so I should be able to write a negative review of a show that still makes you want to go see it, right? Like, I'm never trying to make people not go to the theater. I just want to tell them
right.
What I thought, which I thought was, I was like, yeah, more be great if more critics felt that way.
Yeah. I mean, I see people get up there and give their all, the writer, the director, the actors, the musician, the lighting, and some clunkle bird who took an art course and that's not a species. Don't look for it. I made it up, clunkle bird. Will write a damning critique of, and I've seen those, and then there's one person, I'm not going to mention who, when they kill a play, I go see it. Just because maybe my taste in world is different. But let's do a recap for some of the people who didn't see the first show. How did you guys come up with the Jewish film play festival? I mean, this to me, you guys, you took a risk and it's paying off, I hope.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Wayne, I think you were such the originating connection here. So we're going to talk about how we got started here.
Well, yeah. Let's just say there are a lot of parents to this operation. And I think David and I started a conversation that has gone on for a number of years because we both are sort of Jewish theater nerds. We actually like to talk about, like you and your wife, about plays. And it turns out the Jewish Plays Project has collected a whole bunch of these Jewish theater nerds who, like Deborah, love to write plays, but not only write plays, to read plays, to think about them, to help them develop.
Sure.
From a very fairly early stage, which is not what most people, like the critics, like to focus on. So what I've learned in my playwriting journey from David and from others who I've studied with is the gestation period is very long from idea to some audience member getting to experience it. And we felt in our early conversations that there was an opportunity to bring more people into this process, into the process of reading and vetting plays early on. And I'll let David talk about what that process looks like. I think it's really something to be celebrated as part of American democracy. It's not just by chance.
Right.
Deborah's play didn't end up on that stage because David and I loved the play. It ended up because a group of peers selected it And then a group of audiences in different parts of the country heard and reacted to it. And that process is something I think we're also celebrating here. Yeah. And we felt we needed a stage. We needed a home. We needed partners to share that with us. And we got, you know, we were blessed in working with Kate McGuire and her team at Berkshire Theater Group to meet such a professional operation and such a classy and beautiful institution that it really sort of brought together the best of what American democracy and American theater has to offer at this moment. And so we started with the idea that people needed to see more plays at early stages of development. Yep. And to feel like they, like you, would become believers, not in every play, but maybe right. in one play or in seeing a puppet on stage as you and your wife did, or touching some kids in the community that perhaps, you know, didn't know, you know, some of these stories and backgrounds. So for us, this began really thinking about where is there a community or communities that can embrace this. And that I think is really a tribute to what David and at Jewish Plays Project has been is celebrating now next month. It's what our bar mitzvah year of doing this for 13 years. Wow. And now taking this to sort of the next stage. So David, maybe you can talk about, you know, what it's been to get from year one to what, you know, this milestone is now.
Yeah, it's this is our 13th year, our B'nai Mitzvah years. We're throwing ourselves a big B'nai Mitzvah party in New York in at the end of the month, which would be great. So come on down for the party. It'll be super fun. I think what Wayne's talking about is this process that we call artistic democracy, which is how we've sort of built our work. Because ultimately we want to be doing two things. We want to be finding great work and finding great artists like Deb and like the amazing, really sort of extraordinary cast we had for her play and then the other shows throughout the weekend. We were very, very fortunate in that. But we want to be connecting with great artists and finding great work, but then we want to be connecting that to people, right? Like it's lovely that people write plays, you know, I mean, Deb can tell you it's a lonely process. You're in a room alone dreaming up worlds, and that is great. And we love that process, but it matters because it connects with people, right? It matters because the work that's done in that room then connects with people. And I feel like in the theater world, there's some great stuff in this discussion around what work should we do around the choosing the projects that we do. Yeah. And then the actual rehearsal process of building a play that we sort of hog to ourselves, right? It happens alone in a rehearsal room. It happens, you know, privately. Sure. And I think that's some of the juiciest and most exciting and most intellectually challenging parts of the process. So I want to open that, you know, a lot of my work has been about opening that up to as many people as we can, and giving people a lot of people will say, well, I don't, you know, I just go to the theater. I don't necessarily know. But I think that's not true. I think audiences are very narratively savvy. We are surrounded by stories all the time now, television, on our phones, and, you know, and every 30-second commercial is a story, right? Like we understand on a sort of a gut level what a good narrative is. And we know what we like and what we respond to. And so, yeah, if we're going to talk about some finer points of aesthetics or craft or structure, good. We have a whole group of, you know, about 100 artists that work with us each year to sort of weigh in on those things. But once we get to this public conversation about what plays feel important, what stories feel important right now, I want to do that with a big, wide public, and we were able to do that with Deb's play this year through our Jewish Playwriting Contest. We visited 10 different cities around the country and in Israel, put these plays in front of folks, allowed them to read them, you know, sort of as a book club, and to see some excerpts of them on stage. And what came to the fore is people said, this story that Deb is telling feels now. This feels like what we have to talk about right now. It wasn't that the other plays that we had weren't good or important, but this was the one that really spoke to the moment. And I think we saw that at the theater on that Thursday night.
What I sense, I'm an old cop, operative word old. The silence leaving. There was very little chit chat among people. I think people were still processing while they were leaving. And then is the further we got, or the closer we got to the parking lot, the more you could hear. I heard one lady say, "Oh my God." And you know, I think, Deborah, that is such a compliment to you. I mean, when you have people, I mean, I've left a lot of theaters. People are like, "Oh, you got to get to the car. What'd you think? Oh, it was all right." They're chattering. I think people were still, again, I go back, I repeat myself, but when you get to be 77, you can repeat yourself too. The way you ended that play was pure genius. And I'll say, I'm not a critic. But I'm a play goer, and I left, and it was so, it kept us discussing the whole content of the play. The lady that played the Yiddish speaker, oh, I don't know, I fell in love with her right from the beginning.
Yeah.
She reminded me of a person that I know who is Jewish, and she's just a beautiful, beautiful lady. She's in her 90s. And I was a very good friend with her husband, who was an attorney.
Yeah, well, it was beautifully done, and the cast was spectacular, and all that. But while we're just to go back quickly to
please.
The experience of being part of the Jewish Play Project, you know, the six finalists meet six times as a group and read each play aloud with great actors, and then we all discuss with dramaturgs each play. And this year in particular, when I know I've been feeling very sad,
I have
and sad as a Jew, and meeting with that group of really soulful, smart, generous people every other week was such a highlight of my year. It was lovely that the play won, and I feel very grateful for that. But getting to know those other writers and the people who were supporting us was it was really an important part of my year, and I'm especially grateful for that. Well, and I've made friends that I think I'll have for life in that cohort.
Well, and I think you know, you made a comment, and let me just say I'm sad too. I'm sad. I'm not Jewish, but I am sad. I'm sad at what I hear and what I see. And I'm more sad at the lack of real education that people have. And when you hear things that are well documented in history, pictorial and everything else, and have people say that never happened. You know, I had a friend in Texas. I'll leave this with you. Feel free to use it. You don't have to give me any credit for it. It's he used to say, Bail. That guy's so dumb, it's like ignorance gone to seed. And I think there's a lot of new growth, is what I'm going to say. Mm. When you guys sit down to do this, what are you looking for? Are you looking for anything or what?
It's a great question. I mean, you know, I think the question that I get asked most often, you know, when I say what the project does, say, well, what is a Jewish play? What does that mean? And ultimately, that question is as broad as what is a Jew? And there is so many different answers to that question. And what we're looking to do and the question that we are constantly asking ourselves is what feels right, what feels like a Jewish play now, right? Where is the connection between this moment and the work that we're reading? And the thing that ultimately we're looking for, yeah, there's, you know, we're looking for Jewish content, sort of specific Jewish stories and characters and points of view, but we're looking really for the place where the Jewish question, this uniquely Jewish question that's being asked, which, you know, one of the questions, I'm not going to say the question, but one of the questions that I think Deb is asking in the last Yiddish speaker is, what is our responsibility to pass things down to a next generation?
Yeah. Right?
Like, what do we owe to our next generation? What we're looking for is the place where that question and that question of what do we owe to the next generation is something that Jews talk about all the time. It's a part of our classic text. Yeah. It's a part of our family lives, and not uniquely Jewish, but it is something that is
definitely
part of the world. But we're looking for the place where that question and then the story, the narrative that is being told in the play, come together really well, so that asking the Jewish question stronger or in a more direct way makes the play better, right? And I think that place is where we want to live, because there are plays that have Jewish characters and elements, but really the story is about something else, right?
Yeah.
We were reading a play recently that had a Jewish family around a Seder table, but it was really a play about somebody coming out as gay to their family, right? And we're like, the question that's being asked here is about acceptance within family. And this is a Jewish family, but those two things are a little bit on different tracks, right? We want to see the place where those things are coming together and reinforcing each other, so that working on the Jewish question actually makes the play better and makes the play stronger. And, you know, that's what animates us, and everybody has a different answer to that, but
right,
in combination, in community, in a democratic process, we come to some answers.
I will tell you that what you just said makes so much to me is perfect blend of modern day with Kate McGuire, and I don't want to paraphrase her, I better paraphrase her, otherwise I'll be, don't put the restraining order back in again. She believes that the theater can be a teacher. And I do too. And Deborah, your play taught a lot of people, Jewish and non-Jewish people. I think as many Jewish people there left talking to themselves as I did talking to myself. And my question now is, what can I do? Well, I have this platform and I can use this. We're using it right now. And use it more as things evolve. I have very good friends that are Jewish. I've had them on. But I guess what sensitized me was my wife and I, when we were in Poland, went through Auschwitz and Buchenwald, and with a tour group. Some people couldn't finish the tour. And, you know, there's a lot of words out there, you know, never again. Well, we got to, they're just idle words unless people live with them. We got to take a quick break. I am here today. They are terrific people. There's Wayne, there's David, and there's Deborah. Deborah's a playwright. David is an artistic director, and Wayne is a playwright. And they all belong to the New Jewish Film Festival plays. We just had this. My goal is to work with them in the Colonial to have it come back every year, if not once, maybe twice. All right. But that's just more work on them. It's easy for me to say. I just go and watch the plays, you know. But please stay tuned. There's a lot more. And I have to say, before we go, we brought two Vietnamese children that my wife tutors to the play. Ooh. And to watch them mesmerized. Not moved, just was very heartwarming for both of us. And their mother said, they talked about it like I talked about the play. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. Please stay tuned. Lots more to talk about. And I think, you know, I started this to be informational, educational, and a few chuckles along the way. Today's informational and educational. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
What's going on here?
Combining the miracle of modern technology with the secrets of ordinary street junkies. Producing this.
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita brilliantcenter.org o namibc.org.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I have three of the most wonderful people, talented, gifted. Deborah, she's a playwright. Yeah. And she wrote a play that I still talk about. And it's been like, what, 3 weeks? It's called The Last Yiddish Speaker. And her thinking back, we'll repeat some of the stuff we did in the first half because it is a morning show. So people are getting kids out. Now it's back to school here. And mom's getting, and people going to work. And David, he's the artistic director of this wonderful group of Jewish playwrights and new play people. And Wayne is part of it, too. And he is a playwright. And I just when you see live theater, and I know a lot of people who watch this show do go to, because I see you there and you say nice things about me, and I'll get the check in the mail. Don't keep them coming. But we learn from the theater too. We learn a lot. And I will take another moment to thank Kate McGuire and the entire staff at the Colonial. These folks said it too. They're professional. They know what they're doing. Kate McGuire is courageous and uses the theater as a classroom in many cases, and does it so brilliantly. And not to take away from their play, but their performances, but Abe Lincoln in Illinois was a history lesson in Abe Lincoln. I've been a big Lincoln person. I read Doris Kearns Goodwin, Best Team of Rivals and all that. It showed Lincoln the human being. That was the educational piece. Not the textbook high school piece. This was Lincoln who doubted himself and wasn't sure, and his wife Mary. And it was great. But now I'm with these folks. Deborah wrote the play, The Last Yiddish Speaker, that left my, and I, for people just tuning in, I've said this, left my wife and I talking about the play for at least 3 days. And in fact, just yesterday, we talked about it again. So what's the future? What do you guys think the future is?
So look, you put your finger out in your responses on a number of things that we think, I think each of us from our own perspectives has seen. The theater is important at this moment. And yeah. For us, we are trying to lift up Jewish stories that feel very important to tell at this moment. Some of them are stories that are unknown or less known. And we're trying to tell them to a lot of different types of audiences. Yep. One of the attendees at the last performance that we did at the festival, out of character, was a university president who said, my students need to see this yep. play now. And so just like you said, or paraphrase, Kate, about the idea of the theater as a teacher.
Yes.
There are lots of different segments of society that at the moment are going through different dynamics that we think can be informed by and help, as you said, process some of the things that are happening. And that includes emotional. It's not yeah. only learning, you know, we're not in the business of making documentary plays. We actually want people to come, and if they're feeling sad, to leave feeling that their emotions and were seen and heard, because yeah. they were seen and heard on stage. And as much as we need teachers now, we also need therapists, because this is this moment of collective sadness that we're going through is something that we have to find better ways than through, you know, our little online silos that many people live in. Yeah. We have to physically come together with strangers, with people who hold different views than us, have different backgrounds than us. And we need to be able to learn to say, I like this, I didn't like this, but to do it in a civil manner. And to, if we're moved by a play, we're allowed to laugh out loud at a line. We're allowed to cry. We're allowed to question. We're allowed to scratch our head and wonder why something was done a particular way. Those are things that we think the festival, those were our objectives, you know, like in a broad sense. But I think as we're reflecting on what's next and what we learned from this time, we feel that this is a moment where even though the resources in this country, as you know, are not spent on arts, culture, and no. thinking about the infrastructure that's necessary to build community support, community resilience during tough times. But I think it's short-sighted, and I'm hoping we can begin a new discussion in this country about the importance of artistic expression from many different communities, not only the Jewish community.
Right.
I love Irish plays. I love Caribbean plays. I love plays that tell the experience of the African American community in ways yes. that I come and feel all those things.
Yeah, if and, I could, if I could just jump in on that. Yeah, I mean, I didn't set out to write a Jewish play, and like David said, like what is a Jewish play? There's so many yeah. different ways of looking at. Part of what I really wanted to do in the play is to ask the question, if any of us were put in any completely different situation or grew up in a very different background, wouldn't we behave that way too? I mean, that on a really granular level, we're all just human. And so, and it's a love story, primarily my play. And it's, you know, the boy who is their inspector and who is a representative really of a fascist regime, given different circumstances, he would behave differently. And, and so I feel like theater's the great empathy builder. I never want to put a character on stage who's a villain. I feel like everybody is working for the most part. I think the last few years have been eye-opening, but for the most part, people are doing what they feel is right for a just cause. And if we can understand why people are doing what they're doing, I think, first of all, it'll help us move forward. And but it's also just a more interesting question to ask than who are the bad guys and who are the good guys.
I think we're going too much to that now. There's the guys with the white hats and the guys with the black hats. And let me just dovetail on what you just said. You know, I worked with violent youthful offenders. And some of them, they were the product of their environment. Quick story. Said to a kid, they had points. They had to get points to progress through the program. I said to this kid, I was in the yard, and I said, how's it going? Oh, it's not going good, Mr. Sturgeon. Not going good. I said, what's the matter? I'm not going to be able to get all my points this month. I said, well, how come? He said, well, I can't write to my parents. I thought, because I read all their backgrounds, he couldn't write. So I said, well, I'll get somebody. I said, I can print. Can't do the curly stuff, cursive, which I guess is getting thrown out anyhow. So that we could be the last cursive writers. There's your next play. Write that. People will never know what we're writing. But I said to him, what's the problem then? He goes, my mother and father and older brother are in the system, and one inmate can't write to another inmate. So I went back and reread his file. Basically, he was doomed from birth. So we have to be more cognizant of other people and their plight in life. So I applaud you for saying what you just said. Yeah, you'll never put a villain on stage. Yeah. That really touched me. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I do love, it's actually one of the, my wife and I talk a lot about one of the movies that we love the most is Finding Nemo, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no villain, right? Because there's no villain. The sharks are not the villain. Like, nobody is the villain, right? The villain is the situation.
Yeah.
You know, in Deb's play, and particularly in Tom Neiman, this wonderful actor who played this young boy, this moment when he comes in and he's stuck, he doesn't, you know, he's exactly at the collision between his culture and this other culture, and what does he do? And he just is breaking down, because at the end of the day, he's a boy, he's a 17-year-old boy, and he's stuck, and it's just, it kills me every time. But I think that there's something, I think Deb's playing a lot of the plays that we try and work on. There's a long history in the United States and in many places, but particularly in the United States, because there have been a lot of Jewish writers who have worked in television and film and theater. There's a long history of telling Jewish stories to investigate the question of what it means to be other, to be different, right? And the Jew or the Jewish is the different, right? And there's a lot of stories that we have told over time. The Neil Simon stories going further back, Abby's Irish Rose, the Clifford Odets plays, even to a certain extent, Tony Kushner, but there's like a lot of plays out there where we tell these stories of Jewish life in America in order to, you know, in a Shakespearean sense, hold this mirror up and show that there is a there are different experiences and there are ways that people are othered in this country. And we tell those and they become, they open up. I think the goal is that they open us up to say, oh, right, not everybody's experience is the same as mine. Yeah. And there are places we need to embrace each other. And I think one of the things that I loved about what we were able to present in the festival over the course of the weekend was Deb's play, Ariel Stachel's play Out of Character that Wayne was talking about, which is about Ari's experience growing up as a Yemeni Arab Jew in the United States.
Yeah.
In the post 9/11 period, right? He was a child in 9/11 and how he had to navigate that experience. And sometimes he's embracing his Jewish identity. Sometimes he's completely rejecting it. Some, you know, he had tells a bunch of stories about he went to school and because his skin was brown, people thought he was black. And he let them think that because it was an easier way to move through the world. We did a series of short plays on Friday night that had stories of Jews in Cuba, that had stories of Jews in the future, that had all these different perspectives on what this otherness can be and how it's experienced in this country. And I think that tradition in the Jewish theater of telling Jewish stories in order to make a point about American culture writ broadly is really rich and gives us a lot of opportunities. Yes, there is some information that is delivered, right? We often, you know, there are a lot of Holocaust plays that are about telling that story so people don't forget it. But, you know, if you want to talk about various kinds of oppression, the Jewish history has many more than just the Holocaust. We have a whole panoply for you to choose from, right? And, you know, I mean, Deb has this great section of the play where Kava, the Yiddish speaker, sort of goes through this very long list of all of the places that Jews have been expelled from. Like
5,000 years.
5,000 years. And that.
See, you didn't think I was paying attention ever.
It's a stand in for everybody's experience of being othered and being oppressed. And so that feels like, you know, that feels like an opportunity to continue that tradition in the modern moment.
You're so right about that because just a quick aside, my Irish grandparents came to this community and were not welcomed in the woolen mills. See, that the Berkshires were noted for their woolen mills for years. And they weren't welcomed by the other immigrants that were already here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you saw the signs, no Irish need apply. And so you're right. I really hope that we can continue to use this platform, the theater, to expose people, let them change their own mind or not, what that's up to them, but at least expose them to another side of the story. And I think why I'm supporting this endeavor so much is because I think this is one of the methods we need to use. And we need, and, you know, not to get political, but I say this, I believe it was the Prime Minister of Israel or President, whatever Netanyahu is, when he said, all these kids are out chanting the river to the sea. What river, what sea? And I believe that. I want people to know what they're doing. You know, war is an awful thing. I can attest to that. So if, once we can get people out of trying to kill each other, then maybe we'll see some light at the end of the tunnel. And I think you people are the flicker of light right now. And I mean that from my heart.
Oh, that's very sweet. We had this, one of our short plays was this play called The Replacement. Really funny short play set in a sort of a Charlottesville kind of, you know, rally. And and this, you know, white supremacist is there, standing Jews will not replace us. And this, you know, older Jewish woman, this, you know, and I say this with love, this booby shows up and says, I'm here, I'm your replacement, right? Yeah. And it's funny, but I think the important part of the play actually is later, right? When we find that the son of this white supremacist has gone to the library because he doesn't really believe what his dad is saying.
Yeah.
And he meets this woman and they sort of form a friendship, but it starts with somebody wanting to have more information, right? It starts with somebody saying, I want to learn more, and then maybe I'll do something different after that. And, you know, the more we can make that happen, in the more, I don't want to dominate this, but just like, I have this all the time, because my father-in-law of blessed memory was very conservative politically, and we butted heads on all of this all the time. But I loved him. I loved him dearly. And I know he loved me, right? And so we could have that.
Yeah.
You know, we had this base of like, there's nothing that's going to change that. We are in this. We love each other, and nothing is going to change that. So we can argue this out and talk about all these things. And I think the more places that we can have people in the same room together who feel differently about things and talk it out, right, the better we are.
Yeah, that theme for me, as I think back on the whole festival now, right, is some of the strongest characters that emerged in all the different settings were sort of the weakest or most the people you don't think of as the strong people in our society. So yeah, the librarian was the one that stood up in the play that David was That's talking right. about. The librarian was the focus of the musical that we played for the children, and recognized that this beautiful repository for great books and stories had to teach lessons that were consistent, you know, with the way the adults were behaving, as well as the books that they were hearing on story time. And certainly the timeless wisdom, both that and wit, that we heard from the last Yiddish speaker was something that represented us, for me, a sort of timeless librarian, like of language and of culture and of teachings, that all, you know, the common element was these were all experienced by audiences of different ages, different right. backgrounds. And in the case of the short plays, with the audience on stage with us, so that there was nowhere to run, there was nowhere to hide from the drama. And that was the story, The Replacement, was the first of six. So,
right.
You know, we threw an awful lot at the audience, and nobody left. And nobody, they did exactly what you said. They were exposed to different perspectives from different generations, maybe not the way they grew up understanding family or religion or war or dissent, but hopefully leaving with maybe scratching their head, but also, you know, in conversation with someone either that they came with or that they met or they were sitting next to. And that too is that is something we're trying to celebrate. That is something that we don't want to take for granted.
All I can tell you is I can't thank you guys enough for coming on the show. It means a lot to me. But I also can't thank you enough for bringing and Kate McGuire and all the people at the Colonial, the board, everybody, and bringing all of this knowledge, entertainment, on stage at the Colonial. It will be something I'll remember for a long time, and my wife will attest I don't remember a lot for any length of time. But I hope you guys, success is always in your future. I mean that. And understand, too, that you are contributing a positive influence for change, for positive change and understanding. And I really believe that with my whole heart. And when you're back next year, then maybe a couple times, we'll do this again. I'm not pushing you, Kate, but, you know, we got to have them back. And also, and not that you would, but let me just say this. Don't ever get discouraged. Don't ever get discouraged. Really and truly, that's, I think, so many people, you may see it even in your career field. They start off with, I'm going to go on Broadway, and after 2 months, they're not Beyonce, and then they go home. I know a couple people from here that have done that. Stay with the cause, if you can, because I think it's worthwhile, all of you. And I, thanks for coming on. I say this really upset some of the people that I deal with that watch the show or listen, but I do it and I mean it from my heart. And I think if you don't know that, then wow, well, God bless.
Thank you, Bill. Can I drop a couple plugs to your audience before we?
Yeah.
Quick. You know, that's the power of the press. One, I want to give anybody who's interested in getting involved in our work and being part of this artistic democratic process, please go to our website, whether it's an artist who wants to get involved as a writer or actor or director, or a community member who wants to read and be part of our communities.
Give the website.
Yeah, jewishplaysproject.org. You can go right there, and there's a whole thing about getting involved. It'll tell you all of the things. And of course, you can always just email me and I'll direct you in the right direction. So I want to give that plug. I want to give a plug to Deb's upcoming productions. The last Yiddish speaker is headed to Deb. You say it because I'll get it wrong.
Yeah, Oregon Contemporary Theater in Eugene, Oregon. And I'll be directing it down in at Theater Lab in Boca.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And it's also going to be doing a reading in Oklahoma at the Jewish Theater of Oklahoma, and I think also in LA, right, at the West Coast Jewish Theater. So those.
And it's also getting a production in British Columbia, but I'm not sure.
Okay, great. So this is, we hope that there are. Are more lives. Ariel Stachel's show Out of Character will be in DC at Theater J in December and January, and hopefully going on from there, because that's our dream, is that these plays continue on in the world. So all of those things are happening, and we hope that people will take advantage of them wherever they may be.
You're best of everything to everybody, and to my audience and to my guests. God bless. And remember, today, make somebody laugh. Put a smile on somebody's face. We're in this world. We're all together in this world. And what you do to me, you do to yourself some other way. Lastly, and I do this, and I know this really upsets some of you, but this is my flag. I have friends that are buried under it. I have a lot of people who at some point in their life signed on the dotted line that they would die for this flag. If you don't believe me, go through a cemetery and see all the flags. Underneath there, somebody who believed in the flag. Don't desecrate it. You don't have to love it. You don't have to respect it, but please don't desecrate it. Guys, be well, take care. And remember, take care of each other in this world. That's all we have. I'm always here for you. Take care. Thank you for coming on. Sorry about the kerfuffle. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All the best.
Thanks, Bill.
All the best. Keep on, keep on.